It's the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with Bill Allred and Jimmy Santangelo. I'm your announcer, Zach Caton, and we're coming to you live on tape from Cassatt in the heart of 15th and 15th. Cassatt, a wine and craft cocktail bar at 1508 South, 1500 East in the Great Salt Lake City, is part of the Pago Restaurant Group. The Pago Group includes Pago, Finca, East Liberty Tap House, Hub and Spoke Diner, Trestle Tavern, and of course, Cassatt. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show wants to thank Scott Evans, founder of the Pago Restaurant Group. Our guest today is Tyler Ince. Tyler is the Kilby Block Party Festival Director. Tyler tells Jimmy and Bill what it takes to put together a show as huge as the Kilby Block Party. And they also sample some pretty nice tequila. We don't want to keep these men from their tequila, so let's get to it. Here are your hosts, Jimmy and Bill.
Is everything nice. Everything good?
You looks like you changed up some cameras. You got a different camera over here. Are we square on that? We got good framing? That one's over there. Good. All right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I just start talking and then the show begins. That's how it works.
I think
people will see us and hear us, and it'll be a wonderful time for everybody. So here we go. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show, and we're here. Of course, I'm Bill Allred, the Jimmy Santangelo there. Dawson is doing something. I don't know. What are you doing, Dawson? He's the producer.
I was seeing if I could switch cameras mid-roll, but not with...
Never mind, Dawson. It doesn't.
He wasn't really asking.
just skedaddle over there and do what you do. Okay.
All right. We'll come around.
All right. We have a guest with us, but let me first of all say we have a sponsor, as usual, Beehive Cheese. Beehive Cheese in front of us right now. It's a delicious cheese in a league of its own. Utah's Beehive Cheese elevates humble cheddar to artisanal greatness with spirited flavors that spark conversation, producing award-winning cheeses that bring friends, family together. Beehive Cheese are in first place at the 2022 American Cheese Society competition and were named makers of the best American cheese at the World Cheese Awards 2021, earning the Slow Food Snail of Approval late 2022. Beehive Cheese is also one of only 7 American cheese makers to be B Corp certified. B Corp certified. If you want to know what that is, look it up yourself. I had to make Dawson look it up for me, and he did. And now I know.
Hopefully you have your own Dawson at home.
Our guest here on the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show today is Tyler Ince. Ince is correct, isn't
it? Yep.
Yeah.
He did good.
Now, Tyler is doing a job which I just can't imagine doing. He is the party, the festival director for the Kilby Block Party, which is a huge event. Tyler was born and raised here in Utah, went to high school in Park City, went to... Dreamy man, University of Hawaii on Oahu.
Yeah.
What did you study there? Surfing?
Marketing.
Okay. Oh, wow, really?
Surfing.
Yeah, and partying, and that'd be a great place to live and go to school.
Did
you like it?
Yeah.
I love it. I love Hawaii. I like Oahu. You know, I think Honolulu is a terrific city.
I
enjoy it. I like Kauai quite a bit, but I've had a hell of a good time or two and a couple of tattoos on Oahu. So
there you go.
Tyler is also been in the music industry for 20 years. Can I read this about your brother?
Yeah.
In 2017, Tyler's brother died. At the time, Tyler was working as a safety guy and a site manager for some construction projects at the NSA data center out there in Bluffdale. The week that his brother died, his contract for that position was up, and Tyler said, "I was in a bad depression. Your friends invited you to go work on some project. So what did they invite you to work on?"
So it was Reggae Rise Up and Bonanza, those festivals.
And Lost Lands as well?
Yeah, and then I got on to Lost Lands after that.
Katie, our producer, goes to that every single year.
Should be jealous.
Katie's a big fan of Lost Lands.
So you found a passion for that because your friends said, "We'll cheer you up."
Yeah, they're like, "Hey, come be close to your brother's people, and it'll be good for us to be close to your brother." So I went out and did it.
And so you have become essentially a producer, organizer of music festivals.
Yeah.
And this Kilby Block Party is, I mean, it's, I listen to what, how many bands and how many days it's going to go on, and I'm just stunned. I don't know how you handle all of that at all. Talk a little bit about, well, first of all, give us an idea of the scope of Kilby Block Party.
So Kilby Block Party, it's a 3-day festival. It's next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, May 10th through the 12th. And we have 70 bands coming out spread over four stages. Yeah.
Four
Big
stages.
Ass Show was good.
Now, the Big Ass Show, you know, we would do, we had two stages, and we would, what, maybe 12, 15 bands, maybe sometimes 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a day. But this is 70 bands over three, and some huge names.
Real big names. Yeah, we have like Joanna Newsom, LCD Sound System, Vampire Weekend.
That's awesome. Wu-Tang?
Wu-Tang dropped off because RZA got a movie deal. Yeah. Mm. But we got Sandy Gold to replace Wu-Tang.
Oh, nice.
So that's a good one.
Nice.
And then, you know, and then just tons of bands that you, some of, they'll be core fans of, and some you may never have heard of, but you'll discover new things.
Yeah, a lot of good chances to discover new music and just get out there. Because it's pretty mellow, it's a really good place for, like, families and, like, all ages.
The fairgrounds is really a great place to have shows, I
think. I love the fairgrounds.
Yeah, I think it's a good time. It was awful when we moved the Big Ass Show. We moved it to Gallivan, and it was just too... It was
kind of tight.
Oh, it was too cramped. Yeah. There was one year, I don't know how... couldn't even move practically in the crowd. Oh, by the way, we should have a little sip of this beverage before we go on. Now, what is this, Jimmy?
This is a tequila by Casamigos. This is their añejo. So it, you know, tequila, it's 100% blue agave or azul. And, you know, usually tequila's got the blancos are a little bit crisp, citrusy, salty, limey. This has that benefit of barrel aging for at least a year, at least a year. Many producers exceed it. So that's where you're getting all this beautiful color from, making for a beautiful añejo.
It smells really good. It smells smells sweet and kind of caramely.
A little caramely, a little roasted nut. Little, it's good. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Marzipan.
Smooth.
Comes across on that.
It's got a real candy flavor.
Yeah,
in a way.
Really, really tasty.
Okay, we're going to get back to concert promotion and festival organization. Kilby Block Party Weekend. Kilby Court. I haven't been there a lot, but I think I've been there four or five times.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny venue at the end of a street. At Kilby Court, that's the street, and there are some neighbors that still live around there. And can you tell us about Kilby Court and sort of the history of it?
So this is actually the 25th year of Kilby Court.
Oh my God!
Can you believe that? A lot of shows, a lot of really big bands have played there. I think My Chemical Romance played there back in the day.
Yeah,
and it's just a small, like,
what do you mean? 100 people? Cap?
Yeah, I think it's like 100.
Is it like Utah's CBGB? Like in comparison to New York? Like the like a cool little punk rock place?
Iconic.
Yeah.
Kilby Court is iconic, yeah. I mean, it's iconic like that, you know?
Like it's our comparison.
You know what CBGB stood for?
No.
Country, yeah.
Country, bluegrass, and blues.
Yeah, country, bluegrass, and blues.
And then it became a sign of the scene
punk
of
rock.
Punk rock.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Anyway, let's get back to Kilby Court. So there it is, 100 people maybe at a show.
Yeah, we do. I think with S&S, we're doing about 1,000 shows a year. And a third of those happen at Kilby Court, which is just incredible.
Now, so, S&S is the production company.
Yeah.
What does that stand for?
Sartain and Saunders.
Okay.
And so we do a lot of local bands, a lot of smaller bands come through there. Recent years, we've had artists like Teddy Swims has come through on his way up. Olivia Rodrigo, I believe, was there.
Yeah.
We have a big installation at Kilby Block Party of like all the bands, like all the big bands that have played.
How is Kilby Court, how have the neighbors handled it? I've wondered that when I go there.
It's a tough situation because they have a lot of, like, and I don't know a ton about the venue side of Kilby, but I know that we have, like, a lot of struggles with everybody wanting to re-up and redo that area of town. And so
people want to sell their property.
People want to sell it off.
Somebody who owns the property that it sits on?
You know, I don't know.
You don't know? But they're probably been approached as, well, why don't you sell this? We'll build some condos here and that kind of shit.
I'm pretty sure the guys like Lance and Will own the land that's on it. And then they want to, because they own the spot there, but around like that block in the area, there's, it's part of so many different, you know, future plans.
Yeah. And doesn't the, I think I heard one time that part of the way that Kilby has always been able to coexist with the, I mean, because there are people who live like right next door to the, to the venue, that there's a, that they won't, they don't play too late. They'll cut it off at a certain time so that people can get to sleep and shit like that. I mean, I think part of the reason they've been able to be there for how many years did you say?
25.
That's because they work with the neighborhood and the, and that. There's just a little ticket place, and then you go in, and it's a wonderful place to see a show. Yeah. I mean, it's just incredible.
I love Kilby.
Yeah, and it's so when did they start? When did Kilby Court decide we're gonna sort of do this big festival every year?
So they decided to do one. I think it was like 2019.
Mm-hmm.
2019, they decided to do one, and it was like a big celebration. Or something that they were doing. And I just went. I was an attendee or a guest. And we had Death Cab for Cootie came out, a bunch of bands, and they just closed off the street over there, over by Kilby Court.
And just did it over there.
And just, like a Warped Tour style, just threw it up.
For a day.
For a day. And it was a good time. And they said, oh, this is fun. Let's do it again.
So we broke even.
Yeah. That's usually how it works. Like, we're so close. You know, that carrot just gets dangled in front of you. And then they did it again. And then COVID happened and they postponed. And then 2022 came around and they had a really big, they decided to go bigger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they sold out in like a week. And that was down at Library Square. And they had,
I remember.
Bridgers was there and Steve Lacy. Yep. And just an incredible lineup. And then they said, well, let's just go bigger. I said, well, I'm looking for a job, and I've done this a few other places, but I can help you scale. So that's how it started. So.
Well, I'm going to talk about your job in just a second. I just wanted to mention, you said, let's break even. That was always the philosophy of the Big Ass Show when we started it, back in when X96 first started. The owner of the station at the time said, I want this to be a party for our listeners. I don't care if I make money. I just want to break even. Yeah. I just want to break even. That's all I want to do. And it was that way. So we kept the price really at like $9.60.
$9.60, yes, $10.
For years, we kept it that way because it was the objective was to not make money. And then kind of corporate greediness overtook it.
What if we made it 1996?
You know, and finally, and, you know, it just it wasn't the same after 96. That.
No, it's not the same after corporate world gets hold of it.
It wasn't the same. Let's talk about your job as the Kilby Block Party Festival Director. Can you give us an idea of what you have to do that?
You got to know a lot of really cool, amazing people. Because that's what it takes. It takes an entire army of amazing people.
Huge crew.
Yeah. I mean, we grow to, you know, I think we have like an internal office of maybe 15, 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to 380, 400 people. And that doesn't include like the security guards or the bar staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess probably close to like 800 people in a week.
Wait a minute, you said the bar staff?
Yeah, the bar staff.
Okay. I'm just checking to make sure.
Yeah, we got a lot of bar.
Okay.
We got a lot of bar. No lines. Mm-hmm. Lots of bars.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So the staff just grows enormously.
Enormously. But we have a lot of really cool, amazing people that I've met over the years that I've worked with over, like, at Reggae Rise Up and people that I've worked with at, like, Lost Lands and some of the other, like, When We Were Young, Coachella's.
Mm-hmm.
Just Warped Tour. It's just a big, like, Country Fan Fest. A lot of those team members come out. V2 Presents, which is another promoter. So it really takes a whole community of people to come in and do it. And then also on the production side, with all the companies. We don't go and hire out from an out-of-state company.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. Do you?
We bring it all local, so we have like four or five big local companies. Upstage.
This is to do the stage work and the lighting work.
Even down to our accessibility program, because it's really important to me to be inclusive. And so, like our partner, we partnered up with Upstage, which is a big production company here in town and staffing company for production labor. And they actually donated all of our risers and viewing decks for Kilby Block Party this year, so we could bring in a really good, like, sustainable accessibility program.
People who have wheelchairs or that kind of thing. Yeah,
it's ski all ski injuries. Uh-huh. That's always the last ones. But like wheelchairs, here, like, we have got some kids coming down from Canada who are blind.
Oh. And really?
Yeah, we have people coming from like all over the country, all over the world.
What do you know about how do you book all those bands and get them all to come there when they're supposed to come there? Do you do any of that, or you?
I'm the bring them back guy. So I tell like Will and Lance, like, you guys get the band and the crowd there, mm-hmm. and then I'll bring them back. Like, I'll show them a good time, I'll bring them back. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of coordination. I mean, the booking team, we've grown a lot. It takes a lot of really amazing people that are really good at what they do. And that's like all the stars aligned for us to grow, and it's special. Like what we have at Kilby Block Party is a really special thing.
It's incredibly unique. It's kind of a model of the Big Ass Show. It's kind of like that, mm-hmm. but then you do it for 3 days. It's like a Big Ass Show every day for 3 days in a row.
Yeah, and over Mother's Day, so it's not.
Oh well, yeah, I didn't think of that.
So do you have each day like a climax band, like somebody that's like a headliner or feature?
Yeah, so we have two headliners. We have two main stages. So like this year we have like Vampire Weekends on one stage, the headliner of the first main stage, and then the second main stage, I believe, is Interpol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we have two other smaller stages, but
and you got LCD sound system in there somewhere.
Yeah, LCD plays on Sunday.
Yeah,
nice.
Mother's Day.
Yeah, Mother's Day.
So are the stages, regretfully I haven't been there, are the stages opposite ends of one another, like end zones, or are they side left to right, kind of on angles?
Kind of like scattered all over. We have, it depends, like, so you don't want a lot of the sound blade, and you got to make the engineers happy, and you got to make the kids happy.
Mm.
And you got to make the bands happy. So it's a little bit of a juggle.
Good luck with all that.
It's a juggle. You just stop answering your phone after a minute. But, yeah, we just stagger the food and the stages and the bars and the experience, merch, and just all over. So there's, like, a good, steady flow.
Mm.
You can go and watch an act, grab a beer, watch another act, get some food, get a beer.
There's always a something to see on a stage somewhere.
Always.
I remember so with the Big Ass Show, we just had two stages, one at one end of the fairgrounds, one at the other. So band had finish, the other band had start up, and people would migrate down and watch the other band.
Yeah, yeah.
but then Warped Tour would come to the fairgrounds, and they did what I think sort of the model you guys are doing.
They did like nine stages.
Yeah, they had two big stages, ridiculous. And then a bunch of little stages. No, you don't have that. You don't have nine stages.
No, we don't have nine stages. We do have a skate competition this year.
Nice,
which is cool.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're going to activate the skate park.
Yeah, talk about some of the peripheral stuff that's happening like that.
So all of our art that we bring in is local, okay. And even down to our billboard is all like local art. So we have like a lot of really cool experience photo opportunities there. We bring in like some local sponsors. We got a few national sponsors. So like Thread is one of our, mm-hmm. they're a local company, but they're one of our main sponsors. It's just a lot, man.
There's always going to be something to do.
There's always something to do. Yeah. Whether it's like, VIP experience, we got like big VIP area.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot. My head's thinking about it. And it's just.
And do you keep it all in your head, or do you have are you some sort of wizard of organization on a kind of a platform on your computer? Or?
I have really good people that are way better at their job than I am at mine.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the secret to being successful.
It is.
You hire people who are better at what you do than you are.
Yeah.
It really is. That's unfortunately, we have not been able to do that with Dawson.
Well, there's pay me.
Oh, is that what it would take?
This is the entertainment industry. No one gets paid.
Yeah. Right? That's podcasting world for you. I'll pay you when somebody starts paying me to do this.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we know the big bands. We know LCD. We know Vampire Weekend. We know... but what have you, are there some smaller bands that you know that you're excited to see? And are there local bands?
There's one guy coming out. His name's Kevin Carl. He's a Latin artist.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's really cool. I like him a lot. Royal Lotus is another one. Mm. I'm the youngest person at work, or the oldest person at work,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know a lot of them.
You know how that is,
Oh, right?
Sure. I have a 20-year-old in my house who, Here, Dad, listen to this. And I was good. But then I get to go, have you ever heard this Led Zeppelin song? And they'll go, no, let me hear. That sounds kind of like Jack White, huh? Yeah, there you go. I Ramble On. Oh, that's great. So we trade.
Same thing.
Yeah. Nice.
I went from when my stepdaughter was 12 years old, I was trying to introduce her to punk music, and I got after an hour and a half, it sucks to suck as she walked up the stairs, you know?
It sucks to suck, Dad.
It sucks to suck.
Yeah.
And then 4 years later, when we were young, and I look over and she's like, she really, really wanted to go, but I see her mouthing the words to every song, for every band.
Mm-hmm.
So
it
pays off.
Yeah, it does. It does. Nice. Trading music with your kid is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my older son likes, except for Tom, he loves Tom Waits. Both of my kids love Tom Waits. I mean, just love him. Mm. But other than that, he listens to stuff that I go, what? I can't. No, yeah. I'm not going to. Anymore. No more of this Balkan folk music. I'm tired of that.
Right.
You know, he gets into the weirdest shit. I don't know. So tell me what you're doing organizing the Kilby block party is getting. I'm surprised you're here because it's probably getting busier every.
Yeah. Well, I was laying out the site today and getting ready because tents come in tonight and start. So I was out all day, just laying out the site and getting everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
We have all our golf carts, heavy equipment, radios. So the team shows up mostly on Monday, but I have to have everything ready. So I have another team called Site Operations, and they get the whole, everything ready for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of starts a little bit earlier.
Where, for the folks that are listening, where is it located? I know where it's located, but where is the site?
Utah State Fair Park.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. What you can buy tickets for all 3 days, or you can just buy a single day ticket, right?
Yep, all 3 days or single day tickets.
Mm-hmm. Or so, if you say I just want to see Vampire Weekend.
You just go get one ticket.
You can buy
it's pretty affordable.
Yeah, what how much are the prices?
Put me on the spot. I think single day tickets under $100.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can get them by going to
KilbyBlockParty.com or 24ticks.com.
Okay. And this is the only big festival show like this, I think, in Utah at the time.
Yeah, it is. It's the largest attended music festival in Utah right now.
Are ticket sales going well?
Yeah, it's going really well. We usually have about 20 to 25,000 people out a day.
Yeah. And the fairground, do they have a limit? I mean, the fairgrounds is huge. Is there a limit?
You could do 40,000 people.
You could do that much.
Yeah.
But it's, you're not.
It wouldn't be fun.
Most people wouldn't. But
no.
But you might sometime.
Yeah. It all depends. You know how it is.
I do. It's Tyler Ince. He is the festival director. I don't know how you do it. And as the days get closer and closer, you will get less and less sleep, and then it'll be 3 days of.
And you just start again. It's 3 days of nonstop, and then it just starts over.
And then will you go on vacation?
No, I just start planning next year, right after it. So.
All right.
Or Lost Lines.
Or we have I don't do Lost Lines anymore, but we'll do Twilights. And we have another festival. I can't tell
Kilby
you what it
does.
Is. Yeah, we have another festival in September that we're getting ready to
announce. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Twilight stuff is pretty great this year, too.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of great shows there.
Ogden's got it.
Salt Lake and Ogden.
Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Excellent work. Thank you. I don't know how you do it, but congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Let's talk about some of your food questions, and then we'll get to a splash of news. You were asked, how do you handle cheese? Do you like cheese?
I love cheese.
Says, don't eat it on the show. Your fiance says you'll look gross.
Yeah. I've had a couple slices, though.
What's the wildest thing you've ever eaten?
What did I put? Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, here, I'll let you look over my shoulder.
Yeah.
You really did that?
I was one of those guys, and I was at my friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. Had a little too much before the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up eating, like, 9 beta fish.
A live beta fish.
I would take a drop of beta fish and a shot of whiskey. And
oh, God. Yeah.
Phil swimming around?
Yeah. They don't swim for
I'm
long.
I'm proud of it. The family's not. But I'm proud of it.
I think you should have a T-shirt.
Right?
9 beta fish deep.
It's a tally mark.
This is probably one of my favorite meals, too. Mm. Yeah. I just... Steak and asparagus.
So good.
Maybe a baked potato, too.
Yeah. I'm a mushroom guy with my steak, but I'm with you.
The last I made steaks last weekend and did sautéed mushrooms. But
nice.
What would you feed your worst enemy? And I don't know what this is.
Rao, pihi. So it's like this. So you know the mussels that grow on the side of the rocks in the ocean?
Yeah.
And you see them? So there's like a delicacy one. And this stuff costs... Back when I was in school 20 years ago, it was like $200 a pound.
Jeez.
For it. And so when I moved there, the people at school got me all excited because I was going to this birthday party. I'm like, oh, you're going to have to try the OPE. This stuff's great. I was amped. Mm-hmm. I was like, this stuff, because I grew up loving sushi. So I was like, this is going to be good. And it literally tastes like salt water. It was not my favorite.
It tastes like salt water.
Like a gusher.
Yeah. Like you bite into it and it just squirts out.
A bite of ocean.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why they like it. You know, an old acting teacher of mine once said, I could never stand lobster. I hated lobster. And I had somebody describe to me one time, what do you like about lobster so much? And the person described it, and I went, yep, that's exactly what I don't like about lobster.
Yeah.
Tyler, that's great. Jimmy, let's do a splash of news, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, all right. So we have a little splash of news here, one story. A group of winemakers are working to lower the weight of bottles of wine in the name of sustainability, with a more focus than ever on climate.
Bullshit.
I know, right?
The name of sustainability. They just want to make more money.
Yeah, save cost and lower freight. With more focus than ever on climate and sustainability these days, entire industries are taking a closer look at ways to reduce their carbon footprint and impact Earth. For wine growers, sustainability typically means making changes within the vineyards to reduce water usage or even growing different varieties of grapes that are more climate resilient. At the end of the day, however, up to 50% of the total carbon footprint of wine is the bottle, states Peter Stansberry, the director of research at Sustainability Wine Roundtable. There's a commitment by 2026 that to reduce the bottle weight, the amount of glass, by 25%. Considerations must be made, however, in the distribution of a lighter, more fragile bottle. So an entire industry is impacted, the whole sales chain, because now it's a lighter, more fragile bottle, you're going to be breaking more. Mm-hmm. They're also looking into alternative packaging as well, which we're familiar with canned wines, Bota boxes, wine in a box, that whole thing. That is your splash of news.
Well, thank you. Tyler Ince, the festival director for the Kilby Block Party, thank you for being here.
Nice. Thanks
to
for
meet,
having me.
Nice to meet you or see you again if we've met before. We probably have at
probably
some point.
Probably have. Yeah. I've worked for you at some point. Everybody has.
Yeah. Yeah. You were an intern on our show once, weren't
no,
you?
No, I wasn't. No. I wish.
All right, thank you. Listen, if you have any comments to make or if you'd like to see me fired from this podcast, you can register your complaints at the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. Thanks to our subscribers. Thanks for listening and thanks for watching. Thanks to, of course, my co-host, Jimmy Santangelo. This is great. I'm not a huge tequila fan. This Cheers. Is great stuff. Cheers. Very delicious. Thank you very much. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Because it's tequila, adios.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with Jimmy Santangelo and Bill Allred. Comments, questions, or angry complaints to the management should be directed to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show is produced by Dawson Dow. The Let's Go Eat and Drink theme was composed and performed by Doug Wild. I'm Zach Caton. The last time I was at Kill Me, I got heat stroke. Don't let that stop you. It's a great show. I get heat stroke at almost every concert I go to. Bring Pedialyte. They say it's labeled for babies, but it doesn't taste that bad, and it's got those electrolytes you need. It's important. Stay hydrated. It'll be worth it for LCD sound system, even if you do get heat stroke.